Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Good morning, Life Church. How are you today? Wonderful. Would you welcome everybody watching on their internet right now? Good morning. God bless you wherever you are. Amen. Are you ready for the word today? Oh man, I hope so, because it's burning in my heart today. Grab your Bible if you would. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. We're starting a series today entitled The Climb, The Climb. And it's a metaphor series. Throughout the next few weeks, I'm going to be utilizing this metaphor of a mountain and inheritance and climbing. I'll show you here in the scriptures kind of where it comes from, but there's a phrase in my heart. There's a feeling, an urgency as the pastor of this church, which I hope you understand that a church is not a building, it's a people, which means if there's an urgency in my heart for the church, it's the people, it's our lives that God is speaking to. So I take it very seriously when I say I have a word or a message that I genuinely believe God is releasing. There's a theme, there's something that the Lord is wanting to reveal today. And I'm so glad you've come. And the message is that of climbing, of elevating, of ascending, going higher. That by this time next year, your life would be significantly higher than it is today. That this would not be another year where we talk about it and we get excited about it and we even just dream about it. I thank God that yes, the Spirit gives us dreams and visions, but you know what? He's also the ability to bring those things to pass. And so you have to see God doing both and, not either or. And so I believe the Lord has put a release in my heart to declare over this year, if we obey God and we follow the steps and do the work behind the plans that God will give us and the paths, that we will look back and say, look what the Lord has done. My life, and I'm going to say it again, is significantly better than it was. I am significantly farther along in my relationship with God. Our finances are significantly higher than they were when we started this year. Our health is significantly higher than where I started this year. Our marriage is significantly higher. Let me put it this way. Our city is significantly more reached for Jesus than it is even today. See, what I am sensing in my heart is God moving us from a place of waiting, a place of talking, into a time and season of action and possessing promises. Amen. The possession of promises, which is what I want to talk to you about today. And it leads us to the scripture here in Joshua chapter 14. There's a man in this story named Caleb, and he's speaking to a guy named Joshua. Now, they worked with Moses years and years ago, and here Caleb is saying it's time for him to receive his inheritance. Are you there yet? Are you ready to receive your inheritance finally, your inheritance? See, because you can talk about it. You can even know it exists. You can shout about it and dance about it. But how about let's receive a thing? How about let's possess the promise? Amen? And that's where Caleb was finally in this season of his life. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, now behold, he's speaking, Caleb is speaking. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke. These 45 years. And from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. So this was his birthday. And he woke up on his birthday and he said, it's time for me to possess my inheritance. It wasn't a special day, maybe to anybody else on the calendar. It was just another day on the calendar. But this day, Caleb woke up and said, this is going to be the day that I'm going to shift into possessing the promise and not just walking around waiting for the promise. You know, this is the first weekend of a new year. For some people, nothing special. But for others of you in the room and those of you watching on the internet, I believe, like Caleb, on your birthday or on your New Year's weekend service, you can stand up and make a decision today and say, it's time to possess the inheritance. It's time to receive the inheritance. He was saying, something in me has shifted from waiting and just the delaying into now receiving and possessing. I am still as strong today as I was when Moses sent me. I'll talk about that story in a minute. As my strength was then, talking about 45 years ago, so my strength is now. I love it that Caleb didn't make excuses about how his promise should have been given to him when he was a young man. It doesn't matter how old you are right now. If God's made you a promise, how about make a decision? I'm going to inherit it today. If you haven't seen it come to pass yet, let's make a decision today. See, something on the inside of us needs to shift, just like Caleb, where he's not okay with waiting for the promise anymore, but he's waiting now. He's moving from waiting into possessing. Amen. And he shifted something. It doesn't say God spoke to him. It doesn't say an angel visited him. It said he woke up on his birthday and he said, it's time. Come on now. Good. It's time. He says, my strength is the same now, the same strength I would need for war and for going out and for coming in. He wasn't deceiving himself, saying this was going to be easy possessing his inheritance. He was saying, I'm strong and I'm ready for the fight that it's going to take to receive my inheritance. Everyone, this is a giant, this is real, this happened, but I'm saying this message is a metaphor and these are lessons to be learned. There is battles, there is fights, there is journey involved in possessing your inheritance. Caleb was not pulling any punches. He wasn't just saying, I wake up, I claim it with my words, therefore my inheritance is mine. He's saying, nope, today I make a decision to possess my promised land. I know there's going to be a fight. I know there's going to be choices that need to be made. I know there's going to be battles to go and do, and I'm not going to complain that I'm too old or I'm not enough of this or I'm not enough of that. I am strong and I'm ready to fight. Yes. If you're there, then you will see significant change between the end of this year and where you are right now. Amen. We're not deceiving ourselves to just say, oh, it's just going to happen. No, there's going to be battles. There's going to be journey. There's going to be choice. There's going to be sacrifice. And you are able to pay those prices. Amen. Now then, he says, give me this hill country. In some translations, it simplifies where it says, he says, give me this hill country, because it was a whole mountain region. But in some translations, it just simply says, give me my mountain. Are you there? Are you there now? Are you there yet with the goals, the dreams, the promises, the inheritance that God has been speaking to you about for years in prophecy, through scriptures that have come to your attention, through things that are just in you burning? Are you there yet to finally say, give me my mountain? Not someday. It's easy to put it off and someday God will do such and such. But Caleb moved from someday into to today. As of today, amen. He says, give me this hill country, give me my mountain, about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there in the city with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him, gave him Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now, I just saw something there I didn't say in the other two services, but it totally reaffirms what I'm going for today, and that's this. Joshua gave Caleb the country as an inheritance. That was the promise. But Caleb still had to go possess the promise. See, we look at it like, oh, it's been given to me by the promise, but the promise is the permission to go now and do the work to possess that which was promised. Yes. Do you understand that? The promise is God saying it belongs to you. The promise is saying, I have set your name in that inheritance. That is the dream. Those are the goals. I give you permission to run after that. But now you have to run after it. You have to learn the skills. You have to do the battles. You have to conquer the fortified cities. Yes, it belongs to them, but there's work to be done in order to receive that inheritance. See, the backstory of this, where Caleb was referring to 45 years ago, was Israel had come out of Egypt and God had promised them Canaan, this land flowing with milk and honey. And so they get to the Jordan River, and Moses and the people, the leaders there, send out 12 spies to look at the land to see if it's everything that God had said. And they absolutely said it was. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's a fertile land, beautiful. But then They also brought back the report that there are giants in the land, and the report that there are strongholds and fortified cities and armies in the land. And I've said this before, but I'll say it just for this service in particularly. There are opposing forces in the promises that God has given you. Of course there are, because it's a promise that the devil wants as well as God wants for you. Does that make sense? It's desirable. Those places of influence, those dreams, those goals, those things, other people are vying for that. The enemy is vying for that as well. And so don't be surprised when there's giants or cities or battle awaiting for you in receiving the promise of God. But the 10 came back and they said, we cannot overtake the land. Those giants, those cities, those are all excuses and reasons of why we cannot inhabit that land. And Joshua and Caleb, these are the two older gentlemen that we read about here in Joshua 14. They were the only two of the 12 that said, no, we need to take it. We need to take it today. Let's possess the land. We are more than able to do it. But in that moment, they were outvoted, and the whole nation. It's amazing how a small group of negative people, 10 people, can pollute the heart and the faith of millions of other people. Doesn't take a lot of people to spoil the faith of a lot of people. It's amazing. And so here Caleb now had to wait 45 years. Do you understand that God had promised him that land 45 years earlier? But because of other people's sin, because of other people's excuses, because of what happened to Caleb or whatever, he did not get to receive the promise or the inheritance. He knew it was his, but he had not seen it manifest in his life. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you're at a place where there are things that God has promised you. There are dreams and expectations that you've been believing for, that you have scripture, there's been prophetic word, there's been dreams that God has given you, but because of other people getting in your way, or because of other people's sin or lack of helping and being more difficult, because of the economy, because of the culture we live in, or because of your own sin and disobedience, you have not inherited the land. What I'm saying is this: on this in particular day, Caleb woke up and he said, I'm done with all the reasons of why I've not gotten my inheritance. It doesn't matter who sinned against me. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. It doesn't matter what was done in the past. As of today, I am shifting into possessing what was promised to me. Too many people are still making excuses because of my mom and dad, because of my ex-husband, because of my job, because of the culture, because of the community, because of my lack of opportunity. We make all these reasons of why we're not possessed the land. And here in this day, you can make a decision to shift into, man, I don't know why I keep doing that. That's really kind of a fun time. You can shift into and just wake up. It's your birthday. You just wake up and you say, I am taking my mountain. Thank you very much. But do you realize nobody can do that for you? Caleb had to wake and awaken to that. God had promised it to him 45 years earlier, and it wasn't until this day that Caleb finally woke up. Caleb woke up and said, I'm taking my mountain. Yeah. Now, let's ask this question. How do you take a mountain? How do you receive that mountain? How do you possess that mountain? You cannot be given a mountain. Again, this is a giant metaphor now we're talking about. You cannot be given a mountain. You must climb it. You must conquer that mountain. You must overcome that mountain. And in doing so, you will arrive at the summit and you will own that mountain. See, it's a little bit different because now we're shifting into practical action, which is where we're heading in this series and where we're headed, I believe, in this season. Because we understand the idea of being promised a mountain. But now how do you possess it? Can you take a mountain and put it in your pocket and possess a mountain? No, it doesn't become yours by putting it in your pocket. It becomes yours by accepting its challenges and conquering them one at a time. You see, when Caleb said, give me my mountain, how is that going to happen? God didn't pick it up out of the sky, out of the ground, and go, here you go, Caleb, kaplunk. It would have squished him. I like that word. Give me an amen. It would have squished him. No. What God does is God sent Caleb into the inheritance, and he began to grow into that inheritance as he took one city and then another city and one giant and another giant. And he took on every challenge that was in the hill country. Are you understanding? He took on every challenge on the way to the summit, the fulfillment of the total dream, the fulfillment of the total promise. And as he took on each challenge that the mountain offered, he stood at the top and he possessed the land. That's how you take your inheritance. That's how you take your promise. That's how you take your mountain. So many times we're waiting for it to somehow be supernaturally just handed to us. And God said the promise was there to give you the permission to go take and possess the promise. See, sometimes we're waiting for promises to be given, and God is waiting for promises to be taken. The promises were given for permission, but they must be received by action. God makes you a promise that he will bless you financially and he will increase your business and your wealth. But that's not money falling out of the sky. Amen. It's taking on the challenge of building a business. It's taking on the challenge of growing your wealth and investing properly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, that's God giving you the promise, the permission that I give you permission to be wealthy. And in giving you permission, I give you the power. Because I back up my word, I back up my promise with the ability to do that which I said. But now you need to do the possessing of the promise. God gives you a promise of a healthy family and a healthy marriage, but that's not just gonna be inherited by dropping it out of the sky. It's gonna be received and possessed by you then learning the skills of apologizing to each other, of having open and honest conversation with each other, of learning how to wash one another's feet and serve one another, of learning how to do the difficult and sometimes even painful work, of then possessing the promise. You see, if we're going to get to significant places to increase in our future, if we're going to grow and we're going to see real progress, then it's not just us seeing the summit, but understanding the journey to possess the inheritance, the journey to possess the mountain. There is work and choice and action that must take place. See, again, God's promises, they're given to let you know about the permission and the power made available, but those inheritance and permission must be received by action. God is speaking to us in this season of a church about ascending higher, scaling the cliffs of mountains of influence. Mountains of influence in a community, mountains of influence in media and in government. I love the series that we preached on the seven mountaintops of influence, not just because I preached them and think they were amazing. But we can say all day long, it's God's will to give me the mountain of influence of government, the mountain of influence of business and market in the culture, the mountain of education. Give me that mountain. But you understand something, there's action to take that mountain. There is you learning some skills. There's you getting some positions and running for offices and you sacrificing some things and getting around people to train you to possess that mountain. It's one thing to know what the dream is. It's one thing to know what the inheritance is. It's another thing to start climbing towards possessing the mountain and the inheritance. That's where we're headed. There are goals and dreams in your heart of spiritual growth. How do you possess a mountain? God doesn't just drop spiritual growth on you. Maybe this year you want to be significantly further along in your spiritual growth. That's not going to happen by just a promise of spiritual growth and a quick prayer for spiritual growth, and God just drops the inheritance of spiritual growth on you. No, God has given you the vision. God has given you the dream of increasing your intimacy with God, of increasing your authority and knowing how to use your gifts as a believer. God has given you the vision of what the mountain looks like and what the inheritance is. But then there's the skill and there's the journey of climbing that mountain, of reading your Bible on a higher level than you read it last year, of praying a little more often even than you prayed last year, of changing some attitudes where you've dealt with certain fears or insecurities or hostilities and, you know, just things that come alive sometimes. And you say, God, I want to defeat that in my life. And God says, absolutely, I give you permission. I give you the vision and a promise for it. Now let's do the action to see yourself grow in that area. Maybe the action is getting accountability partner. Maybe the action is getting into some discipleship. Maybe the action is getting some new study tools to help you study. Whatever that, maybe the action is writing down a real plan of how many times you're going to increase the amounts of times you prayed from this time last year. But it's all part of taking your inheritance and your mountain. In short, God is saying to us, as he's saying, go higher, elevate, ascend your mountains. God is saying, get moving. Get moving. You do not change elevation while simply standing still. Think about the simplicity of that statement. We just said we're excited about climbing the mountain. If you're going to climb the mountain, if you're going to possess your mountain, because the way to possess a mountain is to conquer it. Come on, hear the metaphor. The way to possess, to own that thing, is to possess the mountain all the way to the top, to climb it, to take on its challenges, get to the top and say, what? I own you, mountain. That's the only way to own a mountain. You see the metaphor. But you do not elevate, you do not ascend while standing still. Basically, we're lying to ourselves if we say we're climbing, but we're not choosing anything on a higher level than we chose last year. Is that too simple? You're not elevating. If I don't pray on a higher level, I'm not elevating in prayer. If I don't read on a higher level, I'm not elevating in my biblical knowledge. If I don't get accountability with my attitudes and my actions, then I'm not going to change any definitive way of my attitudes and my actions. If I'm not putting myself at a little level of testing into building a career, if I don't start making some phone calls I need to be making or putting some resumes out there, do you see what I'm saying? Doing nothing, standing still does not elevate. And so if you do not choose to make elevated choices, elevated decisions towards possessing whatever the promise is, no matter how much you wish for it, no matter how much you say it's yours, if you make no ascent, if you make no actions towards climbing, you're not elevating. Amen. There's a well-respected business coach named Og Mandino, and he wrote this. He said, my dreams are worthless. My plans, they're dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they are followed by action. And then he writes, I will act now. Do you realize it doesn't matter how big the promise is in your life, if you don't make any steps towards the inheriting of that promise, the promise sits there. Doesn't matter that God could give you the dream and the solution to solve multiple crises and problems. If you don't move step towards those visions and dreams, they're worthless. They mean nothing until we act on them, until we take steps towards possessing, receiving, growing into them. Are you understanding that? They're huge, but they're impossible, and they mean nothing until we act. And I love that he says, and I will act now. So many times we think, yep, I should act. I'm going to act. Yep, one day I'm going to get there. I'm going to act. Do something. Take one step today. Don't wait. Don't next Thursday. What's so special about next Thursday? Why not today? Amen? What can you do today? What is one step you can take up the mountain that God has promised you? What is one skill you can increase? What is one decision you can make to grow into that? What is one opportunity you can put yourself out there that you know is going to push you up towards what God's already promised? God promised you that mountain. The only thing delaying is us. Amen. Amen. Now, in this metaphor, I see the illustration of a great mountain, a kind of this image of different types of people in the climbing mode or mindset. And I can almost imagine going to Denver, Colorado, to one of the national parks, to where there's a beautiful mountain or mountain range, and there's a parking lot down at the bottom, and there's people getting in and out of their cars talking about this mountain. And I see different mindsets, different people. And I want you to maybe, in this metaphor, will you see yourself in one of these categories? Just to kind of challenge us and make us think. But the first group of people that I see coming out of their cars or maybe sitting in the lodge at the base of the mountain, they're having coffee together. They've got every book on climbing the mountain that has ever been written. Inside the car, if you were to be in the car, there's CDs and MP3s about how to climb a mountain most effectively. 5 ways to climb a mountain. 6 and 7 different tools needed to climb a mountain. And they have every tool, every book, every conversation is about climbing that mountain. But the truth is, they never climb the mountain. I see that so much in the body of Christ. And that's where my compassion and my passion is so on fire for this series. Because for too long, people have been learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And we go from conference to conference, and we read book after book after book about our authority in Christ, about our spiritual identity, about goals and dreams and spiritual gift tests. Man, we have researched and we have studied and we've sat through sermon after sermon. We go to the coffee shop and we talk about climbing. We know about climbing. We can give 50 different theories on how to climb, but our life is the same every year as it is the year before. We're never growing. We're never going up the mountain. We're talking and talking and discerning and reading and studying, but there's no real action going on. We're not taking any actual steps in conquering and possessing our promise. We have to be honest about that. And the truth is, they're very tired. They're exhausted because of all the activity. But none of the activity was intentional activity to actually progress up the mountain. It was the busy work of learning spiritual things and being spiritual and talking spiritual and hanging out with other people. But until you start making some goals and keeping those goals and making steps towards the possession of a promise, you can learn it all and talk about it all. But none of that matters until you start stepping. Until you start stepping. And oftentimes I wonder, God, why is it that so many people, we know so much and yet we produce so little? And a lot of it is not because we're bad people. It's not because we're wicked on the inside. It's because we just never took the next or the first step towards growth. We read the books and we studied, but we didn't apply what we learned. We didn't use what we learned. And that's all God is saying. There's nothing wrong with study. The Bible says with all you're getting, get understanding. That's huge. I'm not speaking against that. But take what you know and then make yourself put it into practice. Put it into practice. See, knowledge is not power. Applied knowledge is power. See, in the idea of climbing, improving, and growing, climbing has more to do with the application of knowledge than the accumulation of knowledge. Taking what we know about bitterness and forgiving. Boom, you grew something. You grew because you forgave. You didn't just know to forgive, you forgave. Taking what we know about authority of the believer, and when the devil comes in, we utilize the name of Jesus. We utilize the word of God. You just grew, and you watched the devil run. Taking what we know about sowing and reaping and sowing and believe God for the reaping, we begin to apply the knowledge. Knowledge alone is not the power. It's applied knowledge that is power. But please don't mistake you climbing with just learning. At some point, you take the information and you make a plan and you begin to execute the plan. You begin to take steps towards the summit of the goals and the dreams and the promises. God gave you the promise because he wants you to possess it. He wants you to have it. He's not keeping you from it. And the information is wonderful, and you have plenty of it. Now start using that information. Start executing the plan. The second group of people that I see in those cars on the bottom of that mountain are people that used to climb, and at one point they made it up a little bit of the mountain, but then they plateaued. And they talk a big game like they're still climbing. They're kind of the know-it-alls in Christianity. But if you really look at their life, they haven't moved forward in months or years. There's no one getting saved in their life. They're not learning anything new in God. They're not growing in love. They're not growing in helping humanity. But man, they sure want to tell everybody else what to do on that mountain. And that's a real tell that they've stopped growing personally themselves on that mountain. A lot of times I can tell when someone has stopped growing because we become so critical of everybody and everything else. We begin to criticize other people and the way they're climbing. We begin to criticize everything around us. And the truth of the matter is because we're not growing in our own personal life. And I see that sometimes where people, they used to climb and they do know some things. That's why they sound smart. But a person that's genuinely climbing, you understand, they're so filled with faith and vision for the top, and that they're so filled with expectation that they don't have time to sit and pick on everybody else's life and their deficiencies and failures because they're going somewhere. You see what I'm saying? They're filled with joy. They're filled with expectation. And even if they see certain people stumbling along the way, they're not there to hurt them. They're there to say, hey, let me help you get up. We're on this journey together. You see, their momentum, their inertia is taking people with them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are certain Christians that when they've plateaued and they used to be climbing and they're not climbing anymore, you meet them and they bring you back down the mountain or they shove you down. I'm trying to help you identify who those people are. And if that's you, let's shift it today and let's get you back into motion, because the solution isn't that everybody else change. The solution is that you awaken back to your climb, back to your ascent. And if you keep growing, you won't be the negative version you are right now. You won't be the bitter, dried up version. Just start climbing, and a lot of that stuff just begins to work itself out. Amen. A third category of people waiting or at that mountain parking lot, whatever it might be, are people that get excited about the climb. They get excited about the summit. They're like, that's mine. I'm taking it. It belongs to me. They're very zealous, but they're completely ignorant of the journey itself. They're completely ignorant of what the mountain's going to require of them. And so they don't lean into the gifts and the accountability and the network of people and helps. They don't lean into the education. They don't lean into the Holy Spirit that God has given them to help them climb that. And it's kind of like this thing of, let's just run. I got this. And because they don't do any research or any learning. Now, again, this is the balance. There's nothing wrong with learning. We need to learn. But there are some people who say, I don't need to get in any classes. I don't need to get into any mentorship. I know what God said, and I'm just going to take it. I don't need to be in a small group. I don't need any accountability. I don't need other Christians. I'm just going to go take my promised land. I'm going to tell you something. That mountain's going to eat your lunch. And the first time you come against a giant on that mountain, it's going to make you run because you don't know what to do in the face of a giant. The first time you come to a chasm or some sort of an impossible passing point, you're not going to know how to overcome it because you didn't do any research. You didn't bring any advice with you. You didn't build any relationships to help you keep scaling and climbing that mountain. You know God has a promise for your life and you just went after it, but you are very underprepared about what that journey is going to require and what that journey is going to expect. And finally, there's many of you in the room that are people that are actually climbing. You're deliberately taking steps to improve, to go towards and possess what God has promised. God promised you a business, so you're learning and you're beginning to practice those business skills. God's promised you an inheritance of reaching your school as a teacher, as a principal, as a superintendent, to help your teachers or to help change the education system. And so you're taking actual steps to move things into place. It may take time, that's okay, because there's journey involved, but you're actually taking steps to possess the promise, to not just quote it, to not just declare it, to not just someday it, but to start making steps towards the possessing of your mountain. Can you see yourself in any of these categories? Again, you cannot take a mountain and put it in your pocket. You climb a mountain. I have this little helicopter over here, which I'm so excited to play with. I literally built a sermon around me playing with this helicopter. But I saw this as we were preparing and thinking about this summit ride. Sometimes we think, here we are at the bottom of the mountain, and we see the summit, we see the promise, we see the inheritance. God has promised you prosperity. God has promised you spiritual growth. God has promised you this life with your family. God has promised you a city. God has promised you influence in government. God has promised you influence in the school system. God has promised you increase in some way, shape, or form. And too many times, as charismatic people, we want the helicopter ride to the top. Basically, down here in the parking lot, we get into a helicopter, and then somehow, after a quick prayer or after a prophecy or something, it's like all of a sudden we arrive at the peak, at the pinnacle, and we're like, look at me, I'm a millionaire. Because God promised me that I was going to prosper in finance. I was going to prosper in business. And I'm telling you, there are no shortcuts to possessing the mountain. See, what we want the benefit of the peak or the summit. We don't want the burden of the journey. But you see, the Lord showed you the top to motivate you from the bottom to start stepping. God didn't show you the top because the top is all he cares about. God speaks the end from the beginning, the Bible says. But throughout all these covenants in the Bible, about all these promises of inheritance throughout the Bible, God shows them the end of a thing from the beginning, but all of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus, David, look at your Bible. They all have a journey. They all have a mountain to climb. They all have steps towards the summit of the promise, and they possess the mountain by achieving and accomplishing each of the obedient steps that link them to the fulfillment of the promise. Are you understanding this metaphor, church? Please do not wait or even desire a quick trip to the top, because this mountain is a whole, this mountain is a lot more than just what you see at the top. God knows what this mountain is going to build in you getting to the top. The top was the bait. The top was what got you started. But God knows what the journey to the top will produce in you. You see, on your journey to the top, there's a little guy over here that you're supposed to meet. Maybe you're on the journey to the top of business and economy and financial blessing. And if you would have just woke up tomorrow a millionaire, you would never have met this little guy. And this little guy is supposed to be your business partner. But you see, if you just would have woke up with $1 million in your bank account tomorrow, you never would have met him, and you never would have built the business that would have sustained your millions. And also, you wouldn't have learned the skills of how to handle $1 million. Come on, church. Which is why when people take a helicopter ride to millions, they end up back in poverty. Because they didn't learn. They didn't take the climb. They just wanted the top. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. There are no shortcuts to possessing your promise. In possessing your promise, you grow into the ability of a person who can possess a promise. Promises are given, yes, to give you permission, but they must be taken by action. Do you see this? Stop waiting for the quick fix. Stop waiting for the quick ride to the top of the inheritance, and embrace the fact it's steps, it's paths, it's good decisions, it's obedience. There's going to be things that happen on that mountain that I must go through, but all of them are part of what it takes to possess my inheritance, to possess my promise. There are no helicopter rides to the top. Shortcuts, easy. We want the benefit of the top without the time, effort, or risk or pain of climbing. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good and righteous man, they are directed and established by the Lord. And he delights in his ways and he blesses his paths. Note the key words here. Steps, paths, ways. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Again, key words, paths, steps, ways. Not giant leaps, not magic manifestation to destinations. Are you understanding this? You see, because it's while I'm climbing, and I'm taking the steps. I'm learning not to lean on my own understanding. The mountain is teaching me how to trust God. See, if I just would get the promise down here and arrive to it up here, I didn't learn anything in that journey. But in the process of climbing, of ascending, of taking the next steps that God puts in front of me to take, I'm learning not to lean on my own understanding. I'm learning to lean on His. Let me give you another example just quickly of what happens if we just get the full-grown promise and we don't grow up into it. Remember Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve never grew up into adulthood, which is why they didn't value what they had and they lost it so quickly. See, as we've grown up as babies and toddlers and teenagers into adults, we learn as we go up our mountain to maturity. We learn as we grow up into what belongs to us, and we make right decisions and wrong decisions, and we do good and we figure things out, and there's struggle and there's challenge and there's pain. But all of that is part of growing up, which is another way to say climb your mountain. It's time to not just talk about getting better. It's time to start making steps in getting better. It's time not just to learn about getting better, but apply what we know about getting better. It's time to start climbing. It's time to start stepping. God is talking to us, church, about elevating. And it's not going to be done in a supernatural poof moment in one service where we just have a hallelujah glory service and everybody's life just poof is sorted and gets fixed. Man, I'm a spirit-filled man. I'm a spirit gift man. I believe in the power of God. I believe in miracles. And I'll talk about the suddenly miracles later on in this series because I believe in them. But something the Lord spoke to me about those suddenly miracles is this. The suddenly miracles are not the summit. Those are things that God does to keep you motivated along the timeline. Are you seeing what I'm saying? If you think the suddenly miracles is all your life about, you don't know the size of the inheritance that God's given you. Yes, there's suddenly miracles. I get that. But the mountain is bigger than the little suddenly I need God to pay a bill. I need God to heal this sickness. Those things, yes, suddenly God can do that. But your mountain is about an inheritance. Your mountain is about a hope and a future. Your mountain is about your family line. Your mountain is about breaking a curse that has been in your generations. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Climb that mountain. Learn the skills. Take the steps. Change action. Grow up. Amen. Man, I got a little more serious than I did in the other services there. Whew. Remember what I've said so many times recently. I'm telling you, it's recently because God is moving something. But in this move of God, we've got to know what to look for. Remember, the mountain is not there to stop you. It is there to make you. You may not be ready for the summit yet. You may not know what you need to know. You may not have the character you need to lead from there. You may not have the skills or the wisdom, but that is what the climb is producing in you. Because of what's on top of that summit and those goals and those dreams. Amen. You may not have the knowledge yet of what it's going to take to get there. You may not have the skills or the character yet to stand on that summit. But someday, as you progress up that mountain, that's what the mountain is there for. That mountain will teach you skill. That mountain will build your character. That mountain will give you wisdom. Come on, somebody. And so one day, you will arrive at the top of that mountain, and you will stand with your hands held high, and you will say, look what the Lord has done. He has been faithful to His word. I beat the lion. I beat the bear. I beat Goliath on the way up here. He never left me. He never forsook me, just like He said, and now it's been proven to me. Come on now. See, because that mountain will refine you. There's an old saying in early church, Pentecost church, called the refiner's fire. Do you remember that growing up in church? Refiner's fire. The mountain is a refining fire. That mountain will reveal both the gold and the dross. See, because when you hit your first giant, it'll show you what you know and what you don't know. When you find your first impassable chasm, we'll find out what metal you're made of. And here's the key. If God told you that's your mountain and a certain chasm looks impassable, it just means that God's getting ready, fixing, you might say, to do something above you could ask, think, or imagine. It's not like He didn't know there was a chasm on the mountain. But He said, it's yours. He said, take it. And He knows every step that's on that mountain. He just wants to know if you're willing to take those steps. But that mountain is a refining fire. It will reveal, like when you heat up gold, the impurities come to the top. And it, so not only do you see the bad, but you get to see the best. That's what that mountain will provide. There's going to be times on that mountain that you want to quit. And this, guess what? In climbing it, you find where those places are. And that's a good thing. You'll find what your weaknesses are on that mountain. People can talk a good game, but show me. There's a lot of people who don't climb at all. They have the books, they go to the conferences, they do all the church services, but they're not climbing anything, and they feel like they have all the answers. No, climb that mountain and let's see what you really believe. That mountain, getting to the top of the promise of God, that mountain of possessing your land, that mountain of transforming your marriage, of transforming your financial situation, of transforming your spiritual development, actually growing and fighting those demons rather than running from them and pretending like they're not there. Or how about this? Yes, I believe in deliverance, and we rebuke and we bind and we cast out those spirits, but we still got you to deal with. And you learn the skill of not being a baby, of not being so selfish, of running to God rather than running to women or running to alcohol or running to drugs, because you can defeat that. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You can own your mountain, but you've got to climb. And the cost and the pain and the sweat and the struggle is not a bad thing. When did we think it was bad to sweat? Sweat is weakness leaving your body. Come on, my friend. When you're at the gym and you're pushing through, you find out what you couldn't do. You got to your limit, but you go back the next day and you can do more than you did the day before. That mountain will test your mettle, and that is the refining fire. You'll find out what you're good at, what you really believe, and you'll find out what you didn't really believe, but I'm glad we discovered it so we could deal with it. That's why I do not believe or want us to be looking for helicopter rides. Because the mountain is making you something. The mountain is making you great. The mountain is teaching you how to possess it. And not only that, by you getting to the top, you can then help someone else get to the top because you now have the skills of climbing. You know how the experience of climbing. If you just inherited it, got dropped in your lap, you didn't know how you got it, you just got lucky one day or it just fell out of the sky, you couldn't perpetuate that to your children and your grandchildren. But if you climb a mountain, you can teach your kids how to climb a mountain. If you climb that mountain, you can teach your grandkids how to climb a mountain. Come on, church. Woo! The mountain is a refining fire. Psalm 66, 8 through 10. Bless our God, O people. Give him a thunderous welcome. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of a ditch? He trained us first, passed us like silver through a refining fire. He brought us into hard scrabble country. He pushed us to our very limits. He road tested us inside and out. He took us to hell and back, and he finally brought us to this well-watered place. Why would God do that? Why wouldn't God just helicopter ride everybody to the well-watered place? Because it was in the hard places. It was in the testing places. It was in the challenging places that you learned about you and you learned about him. And you learned how to believe, and you learned how to grow and trust, and you learned muscle and strength, and you learned determination and grit. Are you understanding? In our attempts, Brock, you can come, I'm closing. Your attempts at times may look like failure even. There may be times where you're walking up that mountain and you stumble over a log, or maybe there's even times where you got so far and it just looks or feels like you're not getting any further. Sometimes those turns and those twists, they look like they're going backwards before they're going forwards. But the Bible says, and if you just keep climbing, you're going to make it to the top of your mountain. All of us make mistakes. All of us fall. All of us stumble at times. Your attempts at times may even look like failure. You know, there's people that God has promised in business. And this is big in my heart, the whole idea of business. Because I believe there are so many kings in this church that need to go and produce business and economy for the next generation of Christianity. But here's the thing. On this mountain climb of God promising you prosperity in business, your business here, this first attempt, that business may close. But does that mean that the promise of the summit is not for you? No, it just means that's part of the climb. But you learn something in that business. So you open a second one. And you're like, this is it, hallelujah, woohoo! But all of a sudden something happens in that business and it closes. And so you see, it looks like failure. It looks like you're not moving forward. But no, my friend, because every time you open a business, every time you've tried, as long as you take what you've learned and you apply what you've learned, then you're further along than you were before. Our history is filled with people who their first two or three or four businesses didn't work out. Their first two or three or four books that they wrote were not approved or taken. But you keep writing, you keep pursuing, you keep starting. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And if you don't quit and you keep learning and growing, you are scaling and climbing that mountain. And one day you will hit the top and you will see the inheritance. But all of those businesses, all of those rejections, all of those things were God building and teaching and mentoring, and the world even getting involved in that. It's not always God. Sometimes it's the enemy attacking or the world attacking on that journey, but it's teaching you and it's developing you and it's growing you into the one that will possess the promise. Can you see that? There's a verse in Proverbs 24:16. Though the righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Amen. Keep climbing. Sir Edmund Hillary, he was credited as being the first man to climb Mount Everest. There's a story written by M. Dunham that talks about an event held in his honor. And they wrote, Sir Edmund Hillary was the first person to conquer Mount Everest. The first time he tried, he failed. He was knighted by the Queen of England, and at the gala occasion, on the wall behind the head of the table was a huge picture of Mount Everest. The people gave him a standing ovation for even daring to attempt the climb. When they ceased applauding, Hillary turned his back to the audience, and he faced the picture. And he said, Mount Everest, you have defeated me once, and you might even defeat me again, but I am coming back again and again, and I am going to win, because you cannot get any bigger, Mount Everest, but I can. You, O mountain, cannot get any bigger, but I can grow. I can apply the knowledge of God. I can improve. I can believe bigger. I can act bigger. I can outdo what I did. Edmund Hillary said one more quote I'll end with. It's not the mountain that we conquer, it's ourselves. See, the mountain has no choice but to be conquered. It's just, will you learn the skills to go up to another level on that mountain? The mountain can't stop you. We overcome how we used to think. We overcome what we used to do, and we do better. That's possessing our mountain. That's where we're going this year. Church, it's not just about talking about inheritance. We this year are growing up, and we will possess our inheritance. We will learn the skills. We will do the action. We will commit to the work, and we will be focused. And when we look back 1 year from now, we will say, I have changed. We have become better. Our lives have moved forward, not because we've just said it and talked about it, but we did what was promised. We took the promise and ran with it. We believed God enough to run with it. Let's stand up and close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? All right, church. Yeah, you can celebrate that. Father, in Jesus' name, as we start this year, and as you are declaring over us to ascend, to climb, to go up, we lean on our own understanding. We ask that you give us the very next step. I pray right now we would not be intimidated by the mountain, how far we have to go, how far off we are from the summit or the promise. Lord, I ask that you would give us the next step. What can we do today to go up one level? What can we do today to improve one degree in our spiritual walk, in our social relational walk, in our business and opportunity in the world, in how we do and see and treat people? God, what's one step we can do? Act now. The Bible tells us that your sheep know your voice. The Bible tells us that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. The Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. I have three confirming scriptures that say, if we ask you for wisdom, you'll speak to us. And so I ask by faith that you speak to us right now, that you give us the next step up the climb, and we'll be faithful to say yes to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.